my grandfather came from Ireland. He arrived in Melbourne, and a day later he walked through to Queanbeyan because he had a brother in the district that was in the mining industry up in Bungendore.
So he walked all the way from Melbourne to Queanbeyan?
Sure, yeah. Killed a snake on the way. Difficult and quiet times. There weren't many people about. I don't know how he found his way. There was practically no road. It wasn't much of a road even when I grew up. Still wasn't much of a road.
James Rochford, Jim, was born in August 1913, one of the seven children of George and Alice Rochford who'd settled on a farm near Hall where they ran sheep and cattle.
I don't know where they came by them, I don't know what they used for money, but they were honest people and so they would have had to battle their way to get a start, and that is which we as a family that followed had to battle to get a start. It wasn't an easy time. We walked or ran everywhere we wanted to go.
What do you remember about going to school?
Well, I was one of about 12 children at the school, and we only walked about 2.5-3 miles. Some walked up to 5. Another fellow rode a horse for 11 miles. And one family that I knew didn't have boots. They walked in their bare feet for 3.5 miles. Sometimes the creek was up and they would call in at my mother's place and she would put them up for the night. And there would often be 4 or 5 children. Everybody helped one another.
It must have been cold in winter, especially for those children.
Oh, it was. It was cold. They didn't have a lot of clothing. It's hard to understand that they even lived without falling over. But they had their fireplaces, and when they did get into their house, they would recuperate.
What was your house like when you were growing up?
Oh, it was a slab building, a brick fireplace, or stone mainly, but a well-kept place.
Did your mother cook over the fireplace or did she have a stove?
Oh, she had a stove, but then I was the third child, so for the first and second child it mightn't have been so easy for her. I don't know. She never complained.
Did you have work to do before you went to school in the morning?
Oh, only to feed the fowls. We had to be part of the family setting, but caring for the farm was important. And the gardens, we had to look after the vegetable gardens because my dad and his brothers used to be away on contract work. They had a bullock team and they would start early and finish late in the dark.
What did they do with the bullock team?
Oh, they had to go to Queanbeyan to pick up their supplies. That came every 3 or 4 months from Sydney. They would send an order for groceries. It would come up by wagon. My father's uncle, James Rolfe, used to have a bullock team and he would go to Melbourne every 3 months and come back with a load of groceries.
Where the blue gums are growing and the parsnip sky, where my daddy and mother are waiting for me, and the path of my childhood.
What did you do when you finished school, Jim?
I didn't have work. There was no work. I left school in the height of the Great Depression, and there's so few people today understand what the Great Depression was, and I lived through it. 62% of Australia were out of work.
How did you get by during those years? What did you do?
Oh, well, in our case, there was meat came from the rabbit. The rabbit ran the country. But they cared for one another with their vegetable gardens. If your crop failed, they would share somebody else would share theirs with you and so on. People were a great community. 3 and 4 and 5 mile they would walk to see how the other party is getting along. There was an honour and a kindness between all these people that I grew up with. It's not hard that we followed their footsteps and their manner of doing things. You know, life was so different. It's hard to explain it. All you could do is draw a picture. I only ever drew one good picture, I think.
What was that?
Oh, it was a tree at school.
Jim worked with his father and brothers on the land, then went shearing for a while, before coming back to Hall, taking over the old blacksmiths and starting up a garage.
Well, I ran the garage for about 12 months and the war broke out. And very shortly afterwards they handed me a badge to wear and join the forces. I was in the army for about 5.5 years. It was a long time getting out from New Guinea after the war had finished. And I came back with a will to rebuild the old garage and as something that would be assistance to the village. And it became that.
Do you think much about the war years these days?
I think about it a bit, but I don't take any active position in it.
What effect do you think the war years had on your life?
Oh, it was a cruel few years that I spent in New Guinea. It's hard to explain what occurred in the army because every situation you were in seemed to be different to the one you'd just moved out of. But there was a kind feeling between the troops, and I mean our own troops. We all seemed to be opposed to the opposite.
He's the silent man moving up that track. He's the lonely Ford Scout.
After the war, Jim acquired his own farm near Hall, expanded his business, and was the driving force behind community development. He worked tirelessly to bring essential services such as electricity to the village, recorded local history, and was the lone male in the early days of the Calvary Hospital Auxiliary. He helped raise thousands of dollars through an annual art show.
I had a love for it, but I hadn't had time in my life to play around with a paintbrush.
You talk about that tree that you drew when you were at school. Do you wish you had more of an opportunity to paint and to draw?
Oh, well, some encouragement would have helped, but I've been too busy since.
What sort of things have you most enjoyed doing in your life, Jim?
The things that have meant most were, a lot of it was the help of others in supporting me in my ideas. A lot of it were not my ideas, but I would make use of their ideas and talk with them and try to expand their ideas. We worked as a group.
So you've enjoyed working with people?
I have done. I've had a lot of kind response as we went along. After the war, any sense of kindness seemed to register.
You didn't marry or have children.
Didn't have time.
You didn't have time?
No.
But it seems as though you've always had a lot of friends, Jim.
Indeed. Yeah, everybody was kind to me. Yeah. I didn't interfere with their private life. I might have tried to extract something out of them for the benefit of the district. But no, they were gentle people.
Are you looking forward to your 100th birthday?
I don't dream of it much. I still think of the past, and whatever's ahead of me, it won't be as easy as some of the tracks I've passed over. But there's still much to be done. There's so much to be done.
To make the world a better place?
Oh, to make the world a better place and try and train people not to be greedy and to be kind, yes. Honesty is so important. Around this district here, I came through with a lot of people who thought of nothing else only honesty. When I went to the war, I handed the keys to my workshop and garage, and my brother-in-law and his family, every weekend they would give some time down at the garage. never appealed for any money because I was doing something and they were doing something. Life is short and we've got to make the most we can of it. Help one another is the important thing, and honesty and fairness is important. It's so simple, really.